Once more with feeling. He who fights for the future lives in it now. Ayn Rand. When I founded Solo, it was with a view to finding kindred spirits who had eluded me thus far in the objectivist world. That world, as I had encountered it, was dour, repressed, pedantic, mean-spirited, inverted. It was the intelligent but crimped person's equivalent of the religionist's church, purveying a religion of self-righteous anal retention. It was the domain of monologuing blowhards on the one hand, egotists rather than egoists, and their cowering sycophants on the other. I didn't see unclouded exaltation. I saw sunless gloom. I didn't see total passion for the total height. I saw no passion at all except for heresy hunting, nitpicking, and the eschewing of passion. If objectivists were aware of Ayn Rand's words, "The purpose of morality is to teach you not to suffer and die, but to enjoy yourself and live," I saw scant evidence of the fact. If they had listened to Leonard Peikoff's Understanding Objectivism, which set much of this to rights, there was no evidence that they had absorbed it. I saw people not being moral in order to live, but living in order to be moral. There were exceptions, of course, but by and large, this was the world I saw. It was not for me. Nor did it remotely resemble the world of Ayn Rand's novels, where the good guys made up an informal community of rationally self-interested, benevolent and passionate characters dealing with each other by mutual consent to mutual advantage, finding joy in their own and each other's achievements, characters, personae and, yes, bodies. Where to find such a world? How to show that the world you desired can be won, it exists, it is real, it is possible, it's yours? Create it. That's how. And so, Solo was born. Solo was not an invocation to self-sacrifice for the sake of a future one would never see. It was not an exhortation to create a better world for one's grandchildren. It was a clarion call for those who wish to inhabit such a world to create it for ourselves, now. And so it remains. To be sure, the results thus far have been mixed. Our world is not hermetically sealed off from the conventional one. It is not Galt's Gulch in a secret location. Part of our mission is to engage the conventional world and, by shining example, bring more people to ours, to the point where, ultimately, ours prevails over it. In dealing to postmodernism and anti-rationality generally, we must deal with its advocates, including those who disguise themselves in our garb. We must remind ourselves that, comprachicoed as they are, many proceed in good faith. Disputation should be seen as healthy and necessary, though it shouldn't swallow us up or cloud our view of the big picture. This latter is what was happening at Solo HQ, necessitating time out and a regrouping. Now, here at Solo Passion, to mix metaphors, the slate is wiped clean, we gain our second wind, the battle is rejoined. At the forefront, the magnificent spirits of such stalwarts as Marty Lewinter, Derek McGovern, Andrew Bissell, Duncan Bain, Julian Pistorius, Peter Creswell, Tim Sturm, Marcus Barkler, Joe Marone, Andy Postema, Ciro D'Agostino. No doubt, too, a certain diabolical doctor will emerge from invisibility from time to time, and McCann will continue to muse prolifically. I'm not committing at this point, however, to our running daily articles, since one of the lessons from Solo HQ is that we must pay more attention to quality over quantity. Please feel free to submit quality articles to Andrew Bissell expeditiously. Controversially, no doubt, and most happily as far as I'm concerned, James Valiant and Casey Fay will be here, and I'd be surprised if their Brandinian nemesis stayed away. These latter, it must be said, sullied Solo HQ somewhat with sarcasm and smart-assing, and I would ask them in particular to observe the new posting guidelines linked to the front page. Here, though, in what amounts to a second inaugural address, I want to focus not on the details of what lies ahead, but the overarching vision thereof. Let me repair to those much more poetic than I. First, Tennyson. Death closes all. But something ere the end, some work of noble note may yet be done, not unbecoming men that strove with gods. The lights begin to twinkle from the rocks, the long day wanes, the slow moon climbs, the deep moans round with many voices. Come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a newer world. Push off, and sitting well in order, smite the sounding furrows, for my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars until I die. It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the happy isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides. And though we are not now that strength which in the old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, one equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Second, Ayn Rand. In the name of the best within you, do not sacrifice this world to those who are its worst. In the name of the values that keep you alive, do not let your vision of man be distorted by the ugly, the cowardly, the mindless in those who have never achieved his title. Do not lose your knowledge that man's proper estate is an upright posture, an intransigent mind, and a step that travels unlimited roads. Do not let your fire go out, spark by irreplaceable spark, in the hopeless swamps of the approximate, the not quite, the not yet, the not at all. Do not let the hero in your soul perish in lonely frustration for the life you deserved but have never been able to reach. Check your road and the nature of your battle. The world you desired can be won. It exists, it is real, it is possible. It's yours. Finally, to paraphrase the words of the old communist anthem, The Red Flag, though cowards flinch and traitors sneer, we'll keep the solo flag flying here. To solopassion.com, Cass soloists, kick ass. Linz.